Hello and guten Tag to the Netherlands, the latest country to pop up on the revered Norm Nathan Vault of Silliness map of worldwide listeners. I've noticed what is referred to as the static image that appears on YouTube can now reflect the specific picture I choose for each broadcast. These painstakingly researched images have always showed up on Spotify and Amazon and other platforms, but could not be changed on YouTube. Well, it seems that has changed, and I'm just so darn happy about it. Jim Frawley is producing this April Fool's Day version of the Dumb Birthday Game. This one hails from April 1st, 1995. I have titled it Radio-Yos. One of the prizes up for grabs, heard about through legend and song, is the much sought-after Peeper's Keyring. And later, there's the possibility of another prize that, I believe, is spelled with 19 letters. Our players, the one and only Joan from Tewksbury, Chris in Somerville, Kate from Scituate, Jack Hart, Jim Frawley producing and playing in studio, or is he? And I'm on the phone. Now, before we start the game, we have ourselves a grand old time talking about pranks. Norm gives some hilarious examples and tells some very funny stories. Jack and I add our own ribald representations as well. We are having way too much fun, and Norm acknowledges the other players and tells them, we'll be with you shortly. The teen canteen was rolling on the floor laughing out loud. We talk about Bromo Seltzer, scuba diving marazine takers, daytime television, and getting certified by a committee of idiots. And then finally, we get to the game. Now, today's birthdays are being calculated using new math and the metric system. Debbie Reynolds, Allie McGraw, Jane Powell, Gordon Jump, David Eisenhower, Rudolph Isley, and Phil Necro. We close with an event. What year was the yo-yo introduced? Now, part of the way through this, we flipped the cassette over to side B. The pitch suddenly changed to what I call demon-like slow. With the magic of digital adjustments, I was able to make it audible again. That is, until the tape starts to garble. Can't do much about that except edit it and make it just tolerable enough until the sanity returns. Par for the course on April Fool's Day. The interpretation of what was going on was trying to come up with some other ways to give away the Peeper keychains. Jack suggests providing the setup to a joke and a caller would give the punchline. Norm and I wonder if puns would work. We miss the setup of a joke that I probably have here on another tape, but we do hear the punchline before news time gets us. Oh, and we get a WBC Sports Saturday promo and commercials for Cartilade and Caitlin Travel. Episode 80, Radio-Yos, begins rolling up and down now.
Okay, let me introduce you to the members of the panel who will be playing the Dumb Birthday Game with us. What happens is, of course, I tell you the names of people, get all my equipment in the right proper places because I'm terribly well organized, but very noisy. And I tell you who's born on this day, which is, of course, April Fool's Day. It's also Publicity Stunt Week and all that kind of stuff. And then you tell me how old they are. And whoever comes the closest wins one of our junkie prizes. But for the next few weeks, one of the prizes will be the Peeper's Key Ring. We hear these kind of sounds by pressing the peeper on the key ring. Won't that be cute? Won't you be the hit of your party? Thank you very much. Okay. Let me see now. We have Joan in Tewksbury who's playing the Dumb Birthday Game with us. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Norm.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We also have Chris in Somerville. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Norm.
Hello, Chris. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we also have Kate in Scituate.
Hi.
Hi. Is this the first time for you, Kate?
Yeah.
And what about you, Chris? You too?
Yeah.
And you, Joan?
No, I played before.
Okay. Okay, you're the old veteran then. Oh, that's just so darn exciting. Okay, we also have Jack Hart is with us.
Hello, I've never played before.
April Fool. Did you used to play April Fool jokes?
Oh, sure, still do.
I heard the, we heard the one on your 3 o'clock report.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that was just so funny. We just threw ourselves on the floor, all the kids here in the teen canteen, and we just chuckled and had such a good time.
Well, I'm glad.
What were some of the other things you did say as a kid when you were playing, and things that you do know as April Fool's jokes?
Well, as, you know, kids, you know, you always, say, oh, did you drop that? Oh, mad you like me. You know, but now it's kind of fun to stand, like, in a crowded place, just sort of looking at the ceiling. You know, you just sort of look at a spot in the ceiling with a look of awe and pensiveness kind of sort of intermingled. And you see how many other people will stop and look at the ceiling.
Oh, that is hilarious. That is just a good. No, another one, too. If you're going up in an elevator anywhere, because you're on the top, near the top of the Prudential building, you could do this a lot.
Sure.
You're going up on the elevator. And you have to be with somebody and you start a story.
Uh-huh.
And the thing starts to build to a really an exciting pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you're getting to the punchline, like, and would you believe, when I opened the closet door, there were three little things that looked like lizards. But they were bigger than lizards, it seems to me. And they leaped out, and they were about and then at that point, the elevator door opens, and you walk off.
Sure.
You know, kind of mumbling a few things, so they never hear the punchline.
Or one of the better ones you can do is if you know somebody who has one of the answering machines that has a time limit, you call up and you say, gee, where are you? Listen, Ron and John and Bill and Danny, we're all getting together tonight. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to be meeting some girls there, and we're going to be and we're going to be meeting at 7:30 and just at that point in time, it's,
the thing runs out.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't they catch on the fact that you didn't call back and say, I'm sorry, we were cut off, but here's the date. They probably wouldn't, because your friends are probably stupid.
Well,
I called a friend of mine the other day to leave an answer and message on the answer machine, and I said, but he has no sense of humor. He's an accountant. You know, they don't have any sense of humor about that. He thinks he does, you know, because he laughs a lot at dumb things.
Uh-huh.
But I said, I won't mention their names. I said, don't tell this to your wife, but Thursday morning at 10 o'clock is perfect. I've got that delicious-looking slut, you know, that you wanted to get. Just keep it quiet, okay? Don't tell anybody. We'll meet about 10 o'clock. I'll bring the booze, and we'll get together at the hotel room, the usual place, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that kind of stuff. Right. That was kind of my code for saying I'll be over with my tax returns. It was all very innocent. I just wondered if he ever laughed. He never mentioned it later. Never mentioned it again. He never said, boy, that was a funny phone call you made. Well, you know, the way we were talking about how you hang up on people without them knowing you're hanging up on them.
Sure, sure.
You know, by you hanging up on yourself.
Oh, I see.
While you're talking, you see, I'll do that with the microphone. Okay, you get an idea of that.
Uh-huh.
You say your conversation becomes very heated and excited too, so that throws them off. You know, the argument you made is okay, but I think there are about two things that are absolutely totally wrong. and they never believe that you hung up on yourself, not while you're talking. Yeah. And so when they call back, you don't answer. And then later on, you know, when you've cooled down and you don't mind talking to them for a second or two, you say, boy, I've had such trouble with my telephone. I can't believe it. You know, that kind of stuff. See, so you're not never too old for that kind of stuff. Oh, you know who we have on the line, too, and I bet it's pulled a whole lot of those kind of things. He just looks like that type is Tony Nesbitt.
The stuff I've pulled, Norm, you couldn't imagine.
Can you say it on the radio, though?
Yeah. Could you give us an example of some of the April Fool's
stuff? Oh, one of my favorites is, of course, yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Oh, that's really good.
I really love that one.
Oh, that's a nice one. And the more panic that you produce of people jumping over each other and stepping on each other and hurting people.
Oh, yes, the stampede towards the exits, that's fantastic. I love that stuff.
That is really nice, yeah, and that's fun.
Of course, there's always the less creative driving down, say, the expressway or along the Mass Pike with your left blinker on.
She's usually it's some skinny little old guy who you can hardly see above the steering wheel who does that, you know?
All you do is see a hat. It looks like the hat is sitting on the hat is just kind of sitting on top of the headrest.
And the blinker is slow.
Yeah. Everything about it is slow. Yes, right. Maybe he pulls over eventually. This happened to me. I was driving through Winthrop. I was visiting my folks who had lived there at the time. And there's this car in front of me with no driver. And it's going hardly at all, and it's driving erratically. And I'm in back of it. I think, geez, I mean, I can't believe it. This is a car driving by itself. And he pulled over, and I realized there was a driver in the front seat, and it was my father. Charlie Nathan sitting there. But he's only about 3 feet tall anyway at birth. And, of course, through the years, he began shrinking until finally there was hardly anything of him left. There was a funny hat on his, you know, sitting on his waist.
It was just that hat and a stack of telephone books on the driver's seat. That's all that was left of him.
That's about the size of it. One day we'll all get to be in that position, and then we'll see how funny that turns out to be.
Sure. Maybe they should make shorter cars for us.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, my voice changed when I was roughly three.
Sounds like that kid from the Little Rascals.
Yeah. Froggy. But my friends used to get me to call up people's houses and tell them that they had won a radio contest.
Yeah.
And they'd get all excited.
Hey, wait a minute. I got one of those calls one time.
That was me.
It probably was. They told me I won $2,000.
Then it wasn't me.
Oh, all right.
Now, we used to do that, too. Like, you know, the usual kind of thing. Like, excuse me, do you have Prince Albert in the can?
Let him out before he suffocates.
We used to do that. Oh, this is the electric light company. Could you check the street light in front of your house? Is it on? And then, hey, April Fool or whatever.
Is your refrigerator running?
Well, you know, I got my
trying to catch it before
it goes out the door.
Well, I got my landlord once in a place that I used to live. My toilet would never shut off. So every time, as soon as I got to sleep, my landlord would call and it'd say, you know, would you check and see if your toilet's running? And so one time I got so annoyed, I went in, I put the phone down for a second. I came back and said, well, it was, but it left.
it's about three blocks from now. You know,
sure. I used to try to get the people involved on the other end for crank calls. My favorite was to put on a fake foreign, generic foreign accent, and I'd call someone at random and say, excuse me, my passport, the number is wrong. And it'd say I have to leave, but I don't. And inevitably, they'd say, oh, you must have the wrong number. And I'd say, yes, the number is wrong on the passport. And it says I don't. These people would try to help me. They'd try to have me contact, you know, the post office. They were wonderful people. And then, of course, I'd say, being a terrible kid, I'd say in an American accent, oh, well, never mind that. It must be okay.
Well, speaking of trying to draw people in, what you do on April Fool's is you pick a number at random out of the phone book. And you have a bunch of people call that number all day long and say, hello, is Bob there? And you hang up. And then after a while, you have someone call up and say,
can I do this part, Bob? Can I do this part, Jack?
Oh, sure, yeah, go ahead.
This is Bob. Any messages?
We used to call up girls. Joan, Chris, and Kate.
See you later.
Hang in there, yeah. Hang in there. We'll get to you.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we will. I would call up girls. I don't know why. I never give my right name. Which was not a particularly well-known name at the time. I was only, you know, like 13, 14 years old, maybe 15. And so I'd make up a name. To this moment, I don't know why I did that. It was kind of, you're kind of hiding behind that. And I'd say, this is Al Gould. And they'd say, how did you know of me? Well, I was at a fraternity smoker, and I don't remember who gave me the number, but they said, you were quite a nice person. We go through all of this kind of stuff. The name I used, did I just mention it? Al Gould. Yeah. So if there are any women who are close to 70 years old who got phone calls from an Al Gould way back in the maybe early 40s. Hey,
You're meeting him now for the first time. It's me.
Well, what did you'd never met these people. You'd never go out as
it was
all on the telephone.
Yeah, it would be a blind date kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, not a blind date, no, because it would never get to the point of being a date.
Well,
you just call him just to talk with him. I don't know, just to talk with him. You see, it's hard for you to understand this, but when I was a kid, phones were still somewhat of a novelty. I know this is hard to believe, but it wasn't that they had not been invented sometime before. It's just that most people did not have phones. It was a poor time during the Depression years.
And if you couldn't afford the tin can and the string, you were lost.
That's right. And so we'd even call up movie theaters just to ask them what was playing, just so we could use the telephone. For a time, we had nobody else to call because most of our friends never had phones either. So when you found a girl who had a phone, that was just the thrill of calling her and having her talk to you.
There's another one that's been done, an April Fool's joke that's been done to me, then I've proceeded to do with other people. It works well when someone's standing by a window and they're just looking out the window, and you're near them, and you all of a sudden go, oh, look out. And to see the reaction to the sucker shaking duck, and it's like, oh, geez, and birds flying at the window.
That's kind of a variation of what Jack was saying. Looking up as though you're looking at something. Yeah. You can go outside and start to point and everything. That kind of stuff.
Seeing the cars to stop.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to play the dumb birthday game. I swear we are.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to say hello to Tony and hello to Joe.
Hello, Joe. Thank you for all your lovely little cards.
Yeah. Could you make bigger cards? Because he keeps losing them underneath his toenails. Why did I say that? I have no idea why I said that. And what we're going to do is get caught up in these commercials. I think there's about 12 seconds worth
of... I'm Scott Wally.
And I'm Alan Miller of WBZ.
Right now, you're tuned to WBZ 1030. For up-to-the-minute news and information. Smart move. Congratulations.
But think about it. Where would you go this weekend to get up-to-the-second sports information? We're talking all the scores of all the games in all the sports.
The answer is simple. Look down at your radio dial.
1030.
Lock it on this Saturday for WBZ Sports Saturday.
It's not a call-in show. It's sports.
WBZ Sports Saturday, this afternoon at 1225.
You may have heard of the test going on now to evaluate the potential benefits of shark cartilage for osteoporosis, arthritis, and other conditions. In fact, many think shark cartilage could be one of the most important wellness products of our time. But not all products are the same. To be sure you're getting all the nutritional benefits, insist on Cartilade, the only 100% guaranteed pure shark cartilage. Cartilade is the original all-natural formulation. No wonder it's the world's best-selling brand with over 140 million doses sold worldwide. Cartilade is rich in calcium and phosphorus and contains a family of carbohydrates called mucopolysaccharides, in addition to special proteins that make shark cartilage unique. The key to Cartilade's potency is a patented production process with rigid quality control standards. Cartilade capsules, powder, and new easy-to-swallow caplets are available in health food stores everywhere. So when you want shark cartilage, insist on Cartilade, the choice of researchers, professionals, and health-conscious people worldwide. For more information, call 1-800-700-REAL. Ask for Department E. That's 1-800-700-7325.
That may be kind of a nice gift to give away, too, to the winner. Maybe some mucopolysaccharide. Maybe a little... Does it come in a tube or a bottle? How does that come? Hey, honey.
I think it comes in a jar.
You know, yeah. I had taken some medicine because I had mucopolysaccharides at one point.
Okay, I think it's time to play the game.
Norm,
yes, very quickly,
I had to tell you this. I wanted to tell you this earlier.
Yes.
I was watching a little late-night television. It was Nick at Night.
Oh, yeah, I love Nick at Night.
Yeah, and it was amazing how similar it is to your show, that there were itch commercials right back-to-back with Ovaltine commercials. I said, what is this? That's just like listening to Norm.
No, it's...
And now I notice that you have another person. You've got Bromo Seltzer.
I'm so thrilled with that.
Isn't that one of the cuts that we play on the old-time radio thing? Bromo Seltzer.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Bromo Seltzer. They still make that stuff.
Yeah, the guy says the Alka-Seltzer didn't work, so now all he uses is Bromo Seltzer. And we've got shock cartilage, Ovaltine, Gold Bond,
yeah,
and
apparently they figured...
Marazine. And what's the deal with this guy? He's a certified scuba diver, and now he needs the Marazine?
Yeah, apparently
he already got certified.
He gets airsick going down deep into the water. Nobody can quite figure out why.
How did he become certified?
Well, everybody is certified. You watch television, so during the daytime, and I'm a certified family relationship therapist. Certified by whom? What kind of committee of idiots sits around certifying people, and what do they know about that?
And who certified them?
That's right. You're a sex expert, and we're certifying you. You're a certified sex expert. Well, that's good, and I can go on the Sally Jesse Raphael show. There's all kinds of stuff like that. It's craziness.
Imagine the training course to become a certified sex expert.
Okay. As long as you don't have to do it with Sally Jesse Raphael, you're okay.
Yeah.
Or the one with the no hair, that other one there.
Who, Montel?
Oh, no. I mean, he's out of my life anyway. I wasn't thinking of him. The exercise lady.
Oh, Susan Potter.
Yeah. How can anybody who has such a well-trained, exercised body be so unsexy looking? I've never... Well, anyway, let's get on with this. Because Debbie Reynolds is the first one we're going to guess.
Okay.
She was born April 1st on April Fool's Day. She was born Mary Frances Reynolds in El Paso, Texas. She had a number one hit in 1957, Tammy, and was nominated for the Academy Award in 1964 for Best Actress in The Unsinkable Molly Brown and the film Heaven and Earth, and also was in the movie, I guess it was, what's his name, the musical she did, Good Morning, it's great to stay up late, Donald O'Connor, and I think Gene Kelly was in that, was he not? Singing in the Rain, I'm sure she was in that, was she not?
She was 17 in that, I believe.
17. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean,
what year was that?
I don't have the year for that. I have the year for the number one hit, Tammy, was 57. And for the best actress in The Unsinkable, Molly Brown, won that in 1964. But Singing in the Rain, I'm not sure, but that was such a great movie. Anyway, Joan in Tewksbury, what do you think? How old do you think Debbie Reynolds is today? She didn't think we'd ever get to this game, and so she went out, she went shopping, she went to a movie, had a late lunch at a nearby cafe, and is now back. And we're just beginning.
How about...
Do you have your hand on the phone?
What?
I mean, across the mouthpiece?
No. I have allergies.
No, but it sounds muffled as though there's something covering them. Anyway, tell us how old you think.
How about 63?
About 63. Okay. Chris, what do you think?
Probably about 64.
64. Okay. Kate?
65.
Okay. And Jim? Oh, Jim is not here. What happened to Jim? What about you, Jack? I'm looking across. He usually sits right across from me.
He's just not there now.
I looked up and he's not even there now. He must suspect somebody's going to come on here and say something obscene. He doesn't want to have any part of it. So he took off. Anyway, Jack, what do you think?
You have better. It's April Fool's and he's really just invisible.
He's clouded my mind, so I cannot see him. A trick he learned in the Orient.
He knows what evil lurks in your mind.
63. Okay. And Tony?
You pretty sure about that, Jack?
I think so.
Yeah, 63? Because you're the one who brought up the age in the movie, so you must know when.
Well, I don't know when the movie came out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but,
well, let's see if it was...
If she sang a song like Tammy in the late 50s there, she can't be 100.
Yeah, that's true. So that was what, 57 was Tammy?
Yeah, 1957 is correct.
Okay,
yeah.
So that means... And I'm going to have to go with 65.
65.
Yeah.
Okay. 63 is correct. You should have gone with 63. That means Joan and Jack.
She was 15 when she sang that song?
Let's see, 57. How would that go? 57. And
38.
I don't know how to do this.
57 and 38 is 95.
Yeah, okay. Of course, 1995, take away 63, means that she was born in 1932. Therefore, in 1957...
Einstein, I think she was 15.
1957. I think it was 1932. Yeah, she was 15. No, she was 25. Wait a minute.
Of course, if you
subtract
63 from 1957, she was 8.
Yeah, she would know she was 25 when she recorded that. Can that be?
25?
25.
Yeah, well, she was.
She was born in 1932, and she recorded that in 1957.
I tell you, you know, it's this new math and this metric system. It's got me all screwed up.
Okay. Okay, anyway, the winners are Joan and Jack. And how about Allie McGraw? Allie McGraw from Pound Ridge, New York.
Pound Ridge?
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. It didn't really exist even then. But she received a Pound Ridge. It sounds like something out of Lum and Abner. It was old Southern Hillbilly. So, yes, sir, I come from Pound Ridge. Anyway, she received an Oscar nomination for Best Actress for Love Story. Love Story was 1970. That's the movie, as you know, that coined a memorable phrase. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Did you see that Ryan O'Neill, Barbara Streisand movie later on called What's Up, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she said that on a plane, they're leaving someplace. And she said, you know, love means never having to say you're sorry. And he looked at her and said, you know, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Which is kind of funny, since he had said that in the other movie, you see. Oh, never mind. Anyway, she appeared on TV in The Winds of War in 1983, formally married, not formally like with the, you know, dress suits and everything, but previously married to the late Steve McQueen. I forgot that. I didn't realize she was married to Steve McQueen.
Yeah, and they always went to bed in tuxedos and gowns.
You too? Your family also, eh?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's start with you, Tony. How old do you think Allie McGraw is on this very day?
Is she good enough for Love Story, huh? 25 years ago.
Yeah, Love Story, 1970. That's correct, 25 years ago.
Steve McQueen must be dead.
He is quite dead, as a matter of fact. Yeah. No, he died, I don't know, he died quite some time ago.
Ah, jeez, 53?
53, yeah, that's kind of tough, isn't it? That's not to indicate that you're close or far away, I'm a guess. But, Jack, what do you think?
She is 52.
52. Okay, and Kate?
Oh, I'll say 50.
50, all right. Chris, what do you think?
51.
Okay, Chris says 51. What do you say, Joan?
55.
And, oh, shoot me, while you mind if I cough without turning the microphone off?
Oh, please.
Sure. Oh, that felt so good. It's nice to be able to
just
cough.
Just turn away, that's all. You don't have to turn it off. Just
turn
away.
But to be able to cough in 38 states really is nice.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Allie McGraw is actually 57. Years old today. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed she'd be that old, but Joan said 55, and so she's the closest with two correct answers now. Very good, Joan. Jane Powell, a fellow who's a big Jane Powell fan, talked earlier about her. She was born Suzanne Burse, B-U-R-C-E, in Portland, Oregon. She appeared in Small Town Girl and Three Sailors and a Girl, occasionally appeared in TV's Growing Pains. I don't have any. She was in a ton of other movies, and I don't have a listing of them. I think she was in some with there's a vocalist who I can't stand. Howard Keel. I think she was in some movies with him, was she not?
I don't know.
No, Jane Powell, blonde. She's aged very well, and she looks quite good now. On Growing Pains and some of these other TV shows she shows up on occasionally. Jane Powell. Let me start with you, Kate. What do you think?
Oh, I'll say 72.
72. Okay. And what do you think, Joan?
69.
All right. And Jack?
74.
74. And Chris?
76.
That's the spirit.
Yippee.
Wouldn't it be awful if nobody gets 76 ever in an entire game?
Yes, it would.
Hey, I think it's happened.
Tony, what do you think? Jane Powell is
73.
Okay, she's actually, according to my numbers here, she's only 66. 66. So the closest, again, is Joan.
Wow.
Oh, Joan is just walking away with everything. She said 69.
Well, I remember seeing her in movies.
Oh, yeah.
Long time ago.
Oh, did she used to make movies, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we asked. Okay, because everybody guessed much older than you did. You guessed the youngest of all. Gordon Jump. Did you know that name, Gordon Jump?
Oh, yeah.
He was from WKRP. He was the manager, the owner of the station.
And he also took over for Jess White as the Maytag repairman.
That's right, yeah. It said, they used to call him the big guy, Arthur Carlson, the station manager at WKRP Cincinnati. He also played an editor on the Lou Grant Show. That was the great Lou Grant Show. Is on reruns now, although they never made too many of those. And a great show. I loved it. I don't remember seeing him on that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as you said, Jack, the Maytag repairman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gordon Jump. Let's see. Chris, what do you say? How old do you think he is?
Mr. Jump's going to be 54 today.
Mr. Jump is 54 years old today. You say that with such assuredness.
That's lovely, lovely man.
He is a lovely man, and he said the same thing about you, Chris.
Thank you, Norm.
He says whenever he's in Somerville...
He always stops by my house.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
To fix your washer.
That's right.
No, he's never working. Every time he's in the commercial, he's just standing there.
Just standing there because nothing ever happens to his washing machine.
Exactly.
Machines.
And he gets rather agitated, too.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Oh, not bad.
Joan, what do you think?
Oh, 57.
Okay, well, right now, you know what's going through Jack's head and Tony's head?
What's
they're going through all the cycles of a washing machine trying to come up with another one.
I'm just trying to think of a new spin we could put on this.
A new spin, yes, yes. Okay, Tony, what do you think? How old is Gordon Jump?
60.
Oof. 60, okay. And, Jack?
You know, if we came up with rules against puns, that'd be a fine detergent to some of the madness. Never mind.
Now, that really was reaching. Yeah. Wouldn't you say that? I think that was reaching, yeah.
I'll say he's 70.
Okay. Survey says reaching. And that was reaching, too. Anyway, Kate, what do you think? How old is that?
I'll say 56.
56, okay. Here's, again, we come to the exciting moment when his real age is revealed. Gordon Jump is 63.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did I win this?
Oh, I forgot. I got to name a winner, don't I? I believe you did. Tony said 60.
I knew he was a lot older than we all think he is. And he was even older than I thought he was. Okay. See, I proved my point. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the only winner. You came within 3 years. Nobody else did.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can rest now. I have one. I don't have to win as long as I get one.
Okay, well, you have one, and Jack has one.
Kind of like my love life.
And, that's so sad. I think, if I could figure out what that meant. Joan has three. As we go to David Eisenhower, the grandson of the former president and general, Dwight Eisenhower. He's married to Julie Nixon.
I'm sorry, no, that's kind of funny. The grandson of the former president, and it would have been great if he said Howard Taft.
That's right, yeah. Anyway, he's married to Julie Nixon, the daughter of Howard Taft. Camp David was named after him by his grandfather. I didn't realize that.
No.
They named after that little Pishika, they named Camp David after him. What kind of a thing is that? I thought that was named after, you know, some big David, like David from the Bible or Michelangelo's David or something like that. Named after the little fish again, David Eisenhower.
Dave Maynard or something. I mean,
Dave Maynard, somebody that amounts to something. That's right. And there are no years, there are any dates at all in that kind of thing to give you any kind of a clue. So you guys are on your own. David Eisenhower.
He's the what, the grandson?
He's the grandson, yes.
Okay.
He's the grandson. And... Let's see. Let's start with you, Joan. How old is David Eisenhower?
About 40.
Okay. Incidentally, he and his lovely wife, Julie, now publish a weekly newspaper, the Butcher Shop Gazette, outside of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I don't know if you know that. I'm glad I said that.
I wish I remained not knowing that.
Yeah. I'm glad I said that. That was just added a whole lot. Chris, what do you think?
Let me say 56.
56. Okay. Kate?
Oh, I'll say 49.
49. And Jack? 53. And Tony?
40.
Sounded like an engine conking out, didn't it? I say 40. That was acting, what I just did.
I see.
Yeah. I think it's
40.
Time for me to retire, I think.
Back up again. Yeah, 49. Oh, 49.
49. Okay, well,
that's
a good...
I'm really happy with that.
But no, you should be.
Really?
Yeah, because he's 48.
Oh, that was my other guess.
Okay, that's right. Kate and Tony, then.
Both said
49.
I got one.
Okay, so Tony has two, and Joan has three. This is beginning to tighten up. Kate and Jack have one apiece. If you'll all hold on just for a minute, there are a couple of really terribly...
We have to pause for some messages.
We have to pause. They're none of them terribly important, so if you don't want to pay close attention, it's okay with me.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Maynard. They say that New Orleans is a town with a good soul, a happy demeanor, and a big heart. What a great place to begin and end our steamboating experience. Steamboating vacations steeped in romance, adventure, and history are a legacy of the spirit of 19th century America, a triumphant reminder of a more gracious era. Come discover Mark Twain's America and the legend of steamboating. Hear the calliope call and join us as we celebrate a grand American tradition of paddling down the Mississippi. We'll visit peaceful St. Francisville, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and Baton Rouge, once Louisiana. Louisiana's political center and the stomping grounds of the state's most colorful political characters. The accommodations, entertainment, cuisine, and service on board the Mississippi Queen are just part of the wonderful Americana experience. It's fantastic. If time permits, spend a few extra days in New Orleans, either before or after steamboating. But don't miss the steamboat. Call Caitlin Travel Group today. Early reservations are recommended for best cabin selection. 617-862-6229. That's Caitlin Travel at 862-6229 for steamboating.
that's wonderful. Okay, now let's back to the dumb birthday game, and we have Robert. Is it Isley? You know the group, the Isley Brothers. Is that the way it's pronounced? Isley, the Isley Brothers. Okay, and Rudolph Isley is one of the brothers. His biggest hit, or maybe their biggest hit, "It's Your Thing."
It's your thing.
Do what you want to do now.
that the way it goes?
Sure. I can't tell you who to psych
it
to.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, that was recorded in 1969. That's when it became a big hit. 1969, if that year gives you a clue.
No.
Okay, their best-known dance song, Shout, did not even make the top 40.
Wow.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Plays that every weekend.
Yeah, I used to like that until then I started going to family functions.
Well, how does Shout go? How does that go?
Oh, you make me want to shout, raise your hands up and show your head up. And
everyone and his brother dances and a little bit louder now.
What, do they play this at family functions, you're saying, like weddings and things?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that song, Celebrate Good Times, Come On.
Okay.
Yeah, or any club you go to, you're sure to hear that, maybe even twice an evening.
That and Brown Eyed Girl, every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
How does Brown Eyed Girl go?
Do you remember when we used to sing, sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
leaking down my navel. You know how that warm, soft feeling you get when that happens?
Yeah, I hate when it's cold on the outside, but the warm blood dripping from your body.
Yeah, it kind of warms you up. It's really so nice,
that's,
you know.
Really nice.
Okay. Rudolph Isley. Now,
especially from the navel, too. That's always
good. Oh, yeah, that's always good. Rudolph Isley, and let's see if you know how old he is.
We're going to start with Chris, because Chris will know.
50.
Okay. And then we're going to go to Tony, because Tony will know.
Nope.
Tony will not know. Okay.
Miami safe. And that was, what, 6 years ago? So if he was...
Well, 69 is when he did It's Your Thing.
Don't interrupt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting the train of thought.
Yes.
That's a very bad thing
derailed
to do.
Derailed my train of thought.
No. I know. That wasn't good. I know that. I'm so sorry.
Now, where were we? 69 was that song. So yeah. If I say he was probably about, and we add, honey,
So that was 26 years ago.
That would make him...
Yeah.
And I see you screwed me up again.
I'm sorry. No, I was just trying to help you. I was trying to help you 26 years ago, just saying that.
Oh, okay, all right. So then if he was okay, and he's probably that then, 53.
I didn't like that, huh? Oosh, that's reasoning.
Pythagorean theorem.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Well, it gives you a headache, doesn't it, just listening to that kind of...
I had my scientific calculator going. Had pi r squared, now pi r round.
Round, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Kate, what do you think?
Oh, I'm going to say 52.
Kate's going to say 50. Hey, do you hear that, kids? Kate's going to say 52. Call the newspapers. What do you think, Joan?
I have no idea.
She has no idea. Call the newspapers.
48.
Okay. I'm sorry. You can't call the newspapers. She said they're talking with David Brendley's crew. They're all busy now. It's a local joke. Jack, what do you think?
Well, they've been around since before 1962. The original performers of the song Money, That's What I Want. I'll say he's 56.
56, right on the button.
Oh!
Excellent, excellent. This is really... Oh, what a race this is. If
I talked through my mathematical figuring, Norm, maybe I would have hit 56. So I blame that loss on you.
Well, thanks a lot. Actually, you were the second closest.
Yeah.
Because you said, 53. And Kate said 52, so she was kind of in line there, too.
She was like the third closest.
Yeah, so we have
wow.
Jack and Tony both have two apiece. Joan still leads with three, so this is really tight. Phil Niekro, N-I-E-K-R-O.
The knuckleballer.
That's right, Atlanta Braves knuckleball pitcher. 275 wins and a no-hitter in his career. And I don't have any information as to when he played. No, I don't. I really don't.
Is he retired or is he still playing?
No, he's not playing now. Mm-hmm. No. Although knuckleballers usually can keep pitching because of the special kind of... And if they get the knuckleball down well, they usually pitch until they're about 106. Yeah. But then again, they fall down on the mound a lot. Yeah, but their arms are in great shape. And they dribble, usually really down into the catcher's mask. What am I saying, into the catcher's mask? That doesn't make any sense at all.
They can't help throwing spitballs if that's all dripping from them, the corners of their mouth.
I don't know why. No idea why I said that. I tell you what, we're going to start with, let's see.
I keep picturing the guy pitching and falling over every time he threw the ball.
Yeah. Jack, hi, what do you think? Phil Niekro.
You know, every time it gets to a sports question, who do you ask first? Me.
I know it.
Oh, Edith.
I know it. And you, because you've got two correct answers, you could tie Joan on this one.
Ooh.
And Tony could, too, or Joan could just leap into the lead even more so.
Well,
so this is terribly important, this one right here.
Well, Joan, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't think we're going to be tied.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wish I could give you a year to give you something to judge it on, but I don't have a year.
Well, let's see. You say he played baseball.
Baseball is correct. So far, that's good.
So he was knuckleballer. Late 1800s, at least. So he's not like over 150.
Somehow I don't think this reasoning is going to get you very far, but it's kind of fun to hear the way your mind works.
Well, see, you threw in that point about knuckleballs pitching till they're 106, though, Jack.
Well, yeah, I see.
104,
yeah.
And, like, ready to retire.
Yeah, and we know he's not pitching anymore, so if he was 106 when he retired,
he could be any age.
Yeah.
Let's see.
A couple of years ago, I met Willard Wood. You remember him? He was a knuckleballer, too, for the Red Sox.
How old was he when you met him?
I don't know.
He had just retired.
He's selling medical supplies. I know that.
An a finger ointment for knuckleballs.
Yeah.
I'll say he is 63.
Phil Niekro is 63, says Jack Hart.
Don't laugh.
Okay, Tony, you're smirking, so you tell us. What do you think?
Okay. Oh. 40.
Yeah.
5.
Okay. 45. All right. And Kate?
I'll say 48.
Kate says 48. And Chris?
74.
And what do you think, Joan?
50.
Joan says 50.
I got this one wrapped up, thank God.
No, I'd say, let's see, he's actually 56.
What?
What? Who said what?
You got wrapped away and stored.
No, he's 56. I think Joan had that one. She said 50. Let's see if anybody's closer than the six years. Oh, this is so trying. I'm just no good at this kind of math stuff. Well, 74 is 8 years away. And
I was 11 years off.
Yeah, Kate is said 48, so she's 7 years, 8 years off. No, I would say, 63 said Jack, so it's... No, I'd say it's Joan.
She leapt into the lead.
Yeah, she did. She leapt into the lead. Or as Columbo would say, or Barney Frank would say it, or Tom Brokaw, she leapt into the lead. Phil Niekro... anyways, 56. I got one more here, although I think Joan pretty much has wrapped it up. But now this is an event that happened on this very day, April 1st.
Yeah.
The yo-yo was introduced.
We're not talking about your first day on the air now, are we?
The yo-yo, the actual yo-yo
itself, was introduced by Louis Marx. And he purposely introduced it on April Fool's Day. So it was April 1st. What year do you suppose that was? What year did they introduce the yo-yo? That's kind of exciting to even ponder this, isn't it? While the rest of the world and all the radio stations and TV stations are pondering really important stuff, this is what we're going to ponder. And we'll start with you, Kate. What do you think?
Oh, dear, let me think.
Oh, that sounded like you were reading that. Oh, dear. Let me think.
Now, let me see.
I don't know. Let's see. I'm
1955
for the yo-yo. Okay. And Chris?
Let me see. 1912.
Okay. And Joan?
Well...
Nineteen twenty. Okay, and Jack.
I believe it was the Burgermeister Meisterburger's favorite toy.
I can't do it.
Oh, look, yo-yo.
And you got to figure it probably hails from the days when people used to. Chase a hoop with a stick. let's see. 1892.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I happen to have... Well, let's get Tony's guess first.
That was my guess.
1890 also?
1892.
Oh, 1892. Is that... That's what you said, Jack. 1892?
Yeah.
And Tony says 1892
that's
also.
That's pretty good.
Is that right? You
yeah,
really...
I was right.
And you could hear these sounds.
When it spun around.
Yeah, it was a peeper's yo-yo. That's before anybody thought of a Peeper's key ring.
When they first were trying to make that, it only, and they had tossed it, it would only go down and never came back up. It was originally known just as the yo.
That's right. In fact, the phrase still exists to this day, yo, the yo,
Sure. And then Tommy Smothers got a hold of the thing, and now it's history.
Yeah. That's right. He's quite good at that, I recall.
The yo-yo man. And then, of course, there's the matriarch of all yo-yos, Yo-Yo Ma.
Hey, that's right, the cellist. We're pretty hip people, aren't we? To start making a joke about that great the classical cellist Yo-Yo Ma. You know this is a hip program. You won't find Bob Raleigh making jokes about the Yo-Yo Ma. You can bet your life on that fella. Maybe Tiffany will, but okay. Okay, Yo-Yo. The Yo-Yo was invented, or introduced, actually. It may have been invented earlier than this, but it was invented in 1929.
What? I could have sworn we've already celebrated the 100th anniversary of the yo-yo.
Wasn't it an aboriginal, wasn't it from like originally like used in Australia as like an original aboriginal
weapon.
Thing? Like whack, boom, that whack a kangaroo.
You sure that, maybe that was the bolo.
Bolo, yo-yo, change the needle. Had a string.
We had a string. We had a couple pieces of wood. We put it in between. We hit it down. It came up. We said, hey, let's look.
It almost came down. It almost came up. It was going down. It was hanging.
Then I could cross between them. Mel Brooks and the Jackie, whatever his name is. Jackie Mason. Okay, so it was 1929, and the closest again to that date was Junior.
Incredible.
Will you marry me?
Well.
Does that mean I'll think it over, or does that mean it
absolutely
no?
I wouldn't
be caught dead anywhere near you, fella. Okay, you are the winner, John.
Hey, I appreciate you playing the game.
All of you.
Chris, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Okay, and
don't hang in
there.
Well,
we're going to turn you over.
Okay.
To Jim. Okay.
Can we get a peeper?
What's that, please?
Can we get a peeper?
No, actually, Joan will get one because she won.
Uh-oh.
You see, you give the setup to, like, you know, a joke, you see, and call it in whoever gets closest to the punchline.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's a good idea. Bathroom so they could use the electric razors, and so they put a big totem pole with his picture on it. He was the first man who wired ahead for a reservation. See, that's a pun. May we come up with a whole lot of that. You know what we better do now? I think, you know, it's news.
Ooh,
time,
hey, Norm?
You see. Yes.
Just very quickly.
Yes.
You were talking to Jack about hanging.
Yeah, hello. Did we lose Tony?
No, I think that was the whole effect of the joke.
Oh, I see. That was it. Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Jack and Tony and all of you guys. My name is Norm Nathan.
Ah, thanks, Norm. And thanks goes out to all our listeners, too. It's so great to have you all here. Like, subscribe, and share, and we'll see you next week. Closing the vault and riding the rolling radio waves home. For The Netherlands, Static Images, April Fool's Day, Elevator Stories, Answering Machine Messages, Humorless Accountants, Pulling Stuff, Charlie Nathan, Prince Albert, The Maytag Repairman, Scott Wally, Alan Miller, Dave Maynard, Caitlin Travel, and Steamboat in the Mighty Mississippi, Cartilade, Mucopolysaccharides, Bromo Seltzer, Tricks Learned in the Orient, Pound Ridge, New York, Coughing on 38 States, Howard Keel, Camp David, Howard Taft, The Butcher Shop Gazette, Columbo, Barney Frank, Tom Brokaw, Louis Marks, Burgermeister Meisterburger, Yo-Yo Ma, Peeper Keyrings, Jim Frawley, Jack Hart, and Norm Al Gould Nathan. I have been your genial fool, Tony Nesbitt.